Amen. Good morning to you and welcome. We're glad that you're with us here today and looking forward to a good opportunity today to be reminded again of our mission emphasis that we've been having since the beginning of October into now even this month, as we've had opportunities over the last several weeks to interact with others who are serving in different parts of the world, and especially even right here on our own shores, and grateful for the opportunity to have Ken and Jenna Rudolph with us. And Ken is going to be sharing an update on his ministry and speaking for us this morning. And they've been involved in mission endeavors and gospel ministries through camps and Christian schools and a lot of different avenues there. And you are pretty familiar with him, as we have supported them and are grateful for the opportunity to have them back with us. COVID, if anything COVID has done, is it has allowed us in many ways to be able to see some of our missionaries and to be able to be reminded again of some of their endeavors. And so it's good to be able to have them with us. I hope that you'll make sure to stop and check out their display, get reacquainted with them before you leave today, and refresh the urgency of prayer and the opportunity to invest in their ministry. And just grateful for the opportunity to have them here today. As well, I want to mention that today is Fred and Tina's 34th anniversary, so I think they deserve a round of applause for that. Amen. Hey, congratulations. And I know that they have had several things that have kept them from being able to celebrate some of the other milestones. So I guess, Luke, it's up to you. Get on the ball, man. All right. And but appreciate them and their marriage and their service here in our church and friendship. So grateful for them. Well, we have a few things that are going on throughout this week, and make sure that you take note of that. The bulletin there is filled with opportunities for you to get reconnected in ministry. We're engaging again, and I'm excited about that in the sense of being able to see some studies formulating, getting started again, and just ways to reconnect and be in fellowship one with another. So make sure that you take opportunity to check that out, starting even this afternoon, and then also even on some Tuesdays, and some things coming up throughout the rest of the week here. One of the other emphasis that I just want to stress is that by next Sunday, we need the Samaritans, the shoe boxes that are going out, and we need to collect those by next Sunday. This is collection week starting on the 15th, and so we want to make sure we have them by next Sunday so we can get them to those places where they collect them. And so make sure that you get those in throughout. If you need a box, if there is something that you don't have, if you don't have a shoe box, we have some that are already available. They're free. You can take them and use them, and hoping that you'll fill them, and hope that be a way for us to minister into some regions and to some people's lives that really just need encouragement, and so we're thinking about that. Well, there's other things there regarding the Children's Center, about all the other different things that are happening and right now. And then also on the backside, there is some prayer requests, and there are some different ones that we're continuing to pray for. And just remember these, if you would, as we go through this week. Diana Boland is home, last word I had, and the surgery seemed to be successful. There's now the recovery process, and just be in prayer for them. I talked through email with Mike Reese, and he is expected to have another surgery, another procedure coming up in a few weeks, and so be in prayer for him. Then there's several others, different ones who have lost loved ones. We have some that are still struggling from other health issues, and so just continue to pray for these as we go through the week ahead of us, all right? Well, let's stand together. We're going to open the word of prayer, and Fred and the team are going to come and begin our worship time here together. We're grateful for the opportunity to worship together with you, and looking forward to what God has in store for us here today. But let's go to him at this time, and let's dedicate our hearts and our attention to allowing God to speak to us through his word, to refresh us through the ministry of fellowship, and just to be encouraged in the spirit of God that we share one with another. Father, we're grateful for this day, and just excited to be in this place together with your people, and looking forward to hearing from Brother Rudolph in just a little bit. I ask, Lord, that you'll just encourage our hearts. Lord, we have many within our church family that are discouraged. There is this cloud that is kind of hovering over their existence, and some of that's related to health. Some of that is due to the fact that a loved one has just recently passed. And there are these places in our life where we just deal with the disappointments and the frustrations that come with being part of this life. And Lord, I pray that you would just to really show up mightily on their behalf, and Lord, to encourage them and us as a part of the church, as the body of Christ, that we would also seek to encourage them and to be a part of their process of discovering now what your purpose and intent for them is in this stage of life. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing. I pray that you bring comfort. I pray that you would just strengthen us, Lord, for the journey ahead. Lord, as we come into the season in these holidays, Lord, remembering loved ones who have gone on and remembering and holding on to memories, Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to appreciate the anticipation of heaven and the joy that comes with knowing you as our Savior, and to know that this life is not all there is, but that we have strength to live this life and there's a purpose for this life. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll encourage our hearts through the ministry of your word today. I pray for Fred and the group as they lead us in singing. I pray that our hearts would lift our voices together as we rejoice in the truths that we find to be evident in your word. So guide us, lead us, and challenge us, we pray, in this time. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor. It is a joy to lead you this morning as we sing and praise. I have a scripture verse I want you to read with me from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And just read it with me as we begin our service this morning. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you read it with me one more time? Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the God we serve, right? And no matter what the circumstance, we can trust him for his good plan. We talk about that a lot. So let's rejoice and celebrate together as we sing this morning. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Sing with us.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise, unresting, unhasting and silent as light, nor wanting nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not change at thee. Great Father of glory, poor Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see. The world has never known.
our praise.
And on the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name, Jesus, Son of God. You laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice, Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God. You took our sin, you bore our shame, you rose to life, you defeated the grave, and the love the world has never known.
'Cause you took our sin.
'Cause you took our sin. You poured our shame. You rose to life. You defeated the grave. And a love like this the world has never Christ I stand. alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross of Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness then bursting forth, built in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From my first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he return or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. You may be seated.
With us, and we are excited to be able to get caught up with them, for me personally, to get to meet them and to hear from them and their ministry. And we're going to give them an opportunity to share a little bit of an update, and then he's going to be speaking for us this morning. And so, Brother Rudolph, you just come right ahead and challenge us from God's Word here this morning.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be back here at Grace. A little different location, but I guess God knew you needed a brand new building. Amen? Amen? Yeah. He says, I'm going to wipe out that old one and we'll build you a new one. So praise the Lord. It's good to be with you. And always have so many great memories of my time here at Grace. And we're so glad we could be back again. My wife is with me this time. Sometimes I come and I'm on a journey by myself. And my wife is here. She can raise her hand. And so she doesn't like to stand up or anything. So anyways, it's good to be. Oh. Now we're going to have a fight in the car on the way home, you know. No, she doesn't fight with me. So anyways, well, I want to just tell you a little bit about, we want to thank you so much for your support over the years. And we have just had a tremendous ministry over in Europe. Of course, you know, last spring, when everything shut down, our ministry in Europe really shut down. We weren't able to go back this past spring. We usually go back, spend about a month and a half there in the springtime. We usually spend a couple months in the fall over there doing different ministries. Of course, we were hoping for the fall to open up, but it did not. And so we were not able to have our camp. But one of the things we did, we usually have an English camp over in Germany. One of the things we were able to do is they asked me to do these 10-minute messages. I guess the European kids can't take much more than 10 minutes. But so we did a series of messages to just say hello to these young people that usually come to our English camp and to give some messages out of the Word of God. And then also one of our big ministries is working with the Association of Christian Schools International over in Europe. And we've been able over the years to speak in many of these schools, but also in the fall in Budapest, they have a European-wide get-together where they have a big association. They call it the Student Leadership Conference. And I think, Scott, you've been to that a couple times. And they have that there in Budapest. Yes, I'm saying it right. And this year we didn't have it, but I had to learn how to do it on Zoom, okay? So this old man had to learn how to take a computer and do Zoom on it. And I actually was able to do some workshops where I could break them up into little sections and have discussion groups, and I could, I felt really tech savvy, and it was really good. We were able to do three workshops with them. We've been the keynote speaker over the years, there are many years, and also been in individual schools. One of the neat things God has recently opened up for us is tremendous interest in the country of the Netherlands, where these Christian schools have had us come. There is a Bible Belt in the Netherlands. I don't know if you knew that or not, but a very Bible-believing fundamentalist group of churches there, Reformed Church, the Dutch Reformed Church, but they really believe in being born again, and they've invited us. We've done many schools there. They have huge Christian schools over there, so God has opened up a lot of doors, but recently has shut them down, so we've been trying to keep in touch with them through doing some Zoom preaching and things like that. But just pray for us. We don't know what lies on the horizon. We don't know how long this will last, and I'm sure you're in the same boat as we are with this COVID-19 thing going on, but just pray for us. We have been able, instead of going to Europe, though, we've been traveling all over the United States, doing different conferences, visiting our churches like you that support us, and just kind of helping them get to know us a little bit better, catching up on what we're doing. I was able to do a junior high retreat at Lake Ann Camp in October because the speaker who was supposed to speak was from Romania, and he was not able to come over, so we were able to do that and take his place. So God has filled our schedule anyways, and we're happy to be here. We're not afraid to travel. We're just putting that all in the Lord's hands and asking him to be with us. All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I was working on this message on the invisible God. The invisible God. And I kept working on it, and I was like, well, maybe I'll do a different message. And so I started working on a different message to preach here this morning. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit just said, no, you need to do this message on the invisible God. He just kept impressing this upon my heart and how neat it was this morning to get up and to see that the first song was the song Immortal, Invisible, Only Wise God. And so one of the things, and I work mainly with young people. I do a lot of camps. I do a lot of conferences. Like I say, we work with a lot of Christian schools over there in Europe. We've also done some conferences here just lately because of the COVID thing. I was able to do a Christian school conference, spiritual life conference. And so I work a lot with young people. And I find that one of the things that is happening today is that our young people are falling away. They don't believe like generation before them or the generation before them. And one of the things I see happening is a lot of our Bible colleges are just dissolving, evaporating, disappearing. And they can't get young people that want to go into ministry anymore. And what is the reason for that? Well, I think maybe the greatest reason is that God is not real to them. God is not real to them. This morning I want to speak on how do I make my faith real with an invisible God. That's one of the workshops I did for the ACSI conference over in Europe that I had to do remotely through Zoom. And I'm really concerned about this because I think sometimes we learn all about God and we know all the catechism, so to speak. We know all the things about God, but I don't think he's very real to us. I don't think our faith in that is real. We might be able to say, yes, I believe in God and all that, but as far as is God real to us? And let me tell you, the world is banging on our door saying, how can you believe in a God you cannot see? And so I think it's very important for us to address that. And for young people, I think sometimes they go off to college, and that's where a lot of them lose their faith, probably as a faith they never had. But because they go into the universities, and universities today are all about, there's not a God, you have no visible proof of him. Well, and then we're kind of like, well, what do I say? Well, we need to be prepared for that. Now, one of the things I want to say right off the bat is if we take 1 Timothy 1:17, where we get that statement, our God, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Can I say the Bible, God himself claims he's invisible. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to be afraid of that. Oh, no, you know, your God's invisible. Oh, no, I never thought of that before. No, that's we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? So how do we make our faith real with an invisible God? Well, like I say, number one, God doesn't, he's not ashamed to say, I'm invisible, all right? I'm invisible. Colossians 1, 15 through 16 tells us that Jesus Christ is the exact image of the invisible God, okay? So God doesn't hide that. He doesn't hide the fact that he's invisible. I want to ask you this morning, is God real to you? Not just young people, but how about we adults? Is God real to us? How do we make God real? Well, I want to go back and see some of the things that, well, starting here in Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to talk about the portion starting verse 23 with Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for three months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, I'll get to a little bit later, but I want to stop right here. And, you know, maybe some of you are rejoicing that we have a new president, okay? I don't know where you're political, but maybe some of you are very afraid because we have a new president and all the socialism and all the things that may be coming down and the anti-God kind of posturing that they have today, and maybe you're worried about that. Can I tell you what? By faith, Moses' parents, they were not afraid of the king's edict. Why? Because God was real to them. And whatever the government says, listen, Christians, we can live in any kind of government God gives us. Amen? So they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? What? Invisible. Are you with me this morning? Listen, how are we going to endure? How are we going to endure in a world that is turning against us? Hey, it used to be if you were a Christian, you were respected, you were looked up to. Well, let me tell you, it started back when I was a kid. You know, all the hippies and this revolution, you know, the sexual revolution. And I remember songs coming out, you know, that we can do what other people do on Sunday morning. Lots of time with nothing to do. Lots of time to spend with you. You know, they started moving away. Sundays were just, hey, nothing to do. And I remember as a young believer, I got saved at the age of 15. I'm like, what about going to church? You see, we were moving. Our culture was moving away from that. And so we are growing up in a world that doesn't love God. And when Moses chose to follow what God wanted him to do. And I believe when it says he did not fear the wrath of the king, I think he was talking about his adopted grandfather, the Pharaoh of Egypt, when, you know, he was the daughter of Pharaoh took Moses out of the bulrushes and took him in, and he was trained, you know, in all the education and the wisdom of the greatest wisdom of that time there of Egypt. And he was probably supposed to be the next Pharaoh. And his grandfather was looking down and says, since my daughter didn't have a son, you know, Moses will be it. And so one day Moses is like, guess what, Grandpa? I'm not going to be the next Pharaoh. I'm going to do what God. I'm going to leave Egypt. I'll tell you what, how could he stand up and do that? Because though he had never seen God, he was able because he had a faith in the invisible God. God is real. as the pastor prayed this morning, you know, and said maybe many of you are going through some really difficult, dark times in your life right now. How do we endure? We endure by seeing him who is invisible. So how do we do that? Well, I want to refer you, talking about Moses, let's think about the life of Moses, okay? He made all these great decisions by faith. He chose not to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to not, you know, to suffer with the people of Israel than to, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time and so on and so forth. He made all these decisions by faith. And then one day, he got them across the Red Sea and they're out there in a desert and God says, go up on Mount Sinai and I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments. And he goes up there and he gets the Ten Commandments. He comes down, he says, there's a ruckus going on down there. What is it? It was a sex orgy. Wow. What a great day. And he comes down, he throws down, breaks the tablets, you know, and destroys the golden calf, makes them drink the gold, you know. And I'm telling you, you talk about a horrible time in the life of a leader. That's what Moses is going through. Then in chapter 33, we see he comes to God and he says, God's like, I want you to go back up and get, you know, another record of the Ten Commandments. He says, okay. He says, all right. He says, but I says, I'll tell you what, God, when I go up there, can I see your glory? Can I just see something visible? How about a light show? Amen. Wouldn't you like a light show right about now? You know, you're like, oh, the things aren't going great in my life, and the future of America looks dreary, and the future of my life, I don't know what's going on, but so, you know, wouldn't it be great? I've heard kids tell me sometimes, they're like, you know, when I was young, I used to pray, God, if you're really there, could you make that light go off in the hallway and come back on just so I know you're real? How about a light show? God, can I see your glory? All I've seen is sin and degradation and failure. And God, can you brighten up my life with something real? And God's like, well, Moses will tell you what. If you see my glory, you'll die. No man can see my glory and die. You don't want to see the whole thing, okay? Because God is so glorious. But he says, I'll tell you what, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'll cover you with my hand, I'll pass over, and I'll let you see the back of my glory, just a little bit of it. But you cannot see all of it, okay? But then he takes them in chapter 34, if you want to turn there. And I just want to read to you. What does God do for him? Does he give him a light show? Verse 5 of chapter 34, after Moses cuts two more tablets, and he rose early in the morning, verse 4, he went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. He took in his hand two tablets of stone. Verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and he worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. What did God give him? Did he give him a light show? Did God give Moses a light show? No, he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you who I am, and we have it recorded here in chapter 34 of Exodus. The Lord, merciful and gracious, full of steadfast love. He's telling us who he is, the character of who he is. He's telling us how gracious he is, how merciful he is. How do we know an invisible God? Let me tell you, young people, you're all not young people, but I'm so used to saying that, young people. Let me tell you, people, we know God through his word. Amen? We know God through his word. I'll tell you, a lot of us were begging God for a light show. Oh, God, make the election turn out the way I want it to turn out. God, what? What are you doing? Show me your glory, you know. God, you know, I've got cancer, I've got this, and God, show me your glory, take it away. Just show up. Can I tell you what? God has shown up in the image of Jesus Christ, as it says in Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God. What does that mean? You know, why do you think God said, don't make any graven image of me? I don't want you to have this idea of, oh, you know, Jesus had long hair and he had a good tan and, you know, he kind of had, you know, a six-pack like that and, you know, he just looked really good and you're like, yeah, that's the Jesus I want to follow. No, can I tell you what? We know who Jesus was when he's described to us in his word. Amen? I want to just go through a few portions of scripture as we can see him who is invisible. How do we see him who is invisible? Well, God didn't show Moses his glory. He said, I'm going to tell you who I am. And that's how we make God real. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, if you would. Luke chapter 1. We're going to just realize this morning that we know God. He becomes real to us. How can we make an invisible God real to us? And the answer is through his word. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Luke writes to us, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. One of the things God does for us in the Word of God to make an invisible God real is he writes to us so that we can have certainty. We can have certainty. Listen, I remember as a young person getting saved, and I was so excited because I grew up in a denominational church where they taught us, you know, you're going to get saved by your good works. And so, you know, I try to do good things. I joined the church, you know, went through confirmation and things like that. And I took communion. I thought maybe communion was a way of grace. And, you know, I tried everything. I did all, but I'll tell you what, I knew I was a sinner. And I went to camp, and the preacher got up and took the word of God, and he said, God loves you. You're a sinner. I'm like, I know that. And it is by grace, and you must be born again. And I got saved. I mean, God made it so clear to me that I cannot save myself, that Jesus did it on the cross. Christ did it. Well, I went back to my high school, and I was so excited to take all these scriptures I had learned at camp. And I remember going to camp or going to high school and saying, hey, look, you don't have to work your way into heaven, because I knew almost everybody in my high school was not saved. And all the young people, and I'm preaching to them, and they're like, well, where does it say this, that you're not saved by works? I'm like, it's right in the Bible. And I started, you know, and I opened my Bible, and I'm like, look what it says, you know, for by grace you're saved, not, you know, through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. And all of a sudden they stood back, and they're like, well, how do you know the Bible's real? That's just written by man. I'm like, ah! All of a sudden I had a challenge to my faith. Is this really the word of God? And Luke says, I've written an orderly account for you. He says that you can take the things that the eyewitnesses have seen, and I'm putting it before you so you can check it out and get into the word of God and know and have certainty. Amen? I'll tell you what, we need to have certainty. And we get that through the word of God. You said, well, isn't that just a self-evident, you know, if it says, you know, all scripture is given by, you know, the Spirit of God and not by man. But listen, only the Holy Spirit can take his word and make it real to your hearts, a certainty. I want us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Not only do we get certainty in an invisible God, chapter 1, verse 16. Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So what is Peter saying here? He's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm not following cleverly devised fables or myths." He said, "Listen, I was with him on the holy mountain." Remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John? I'm surprised how many times when I talk to young people about the Mount of Transfiguration, they don't even know about this story. And I say, yes, there was a time when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he took them up on a mountain, I think it was Mount Hermon, and he took them up there, and he transfigured himself. He kind of peeled away the human figure and showed, again, probably not all of his glory, but enough glory to show that he was transfigured in a glorious state before them. And then, not only that, here's Moses and Elijah beside them. And so they're seeing two of the greatest prophets of all of Israel. And then a voice from heaven, God says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Whoa, what an experience. Amen. Woo. Yeah. You're like, okay. No, that was, he goes, "Hey, you think God was real? You think Jesus was real to Peter?" "Oh, yeah." He says, "I'm telling you, I'm writing this down." He says, "But you have a more sure word of prophecy." Right there in verse 19. "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in the dark place." Listen, some of your hearts are still dark in unbelief. I'm not talking about not saved. He's writing to believers, I believe, here. He's saying, listen, we would do well to take the prophetic word and look at it. Pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place. Talk about our world today. It's a dark place. "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." I think he's talking about illumination of God working in your heart and saying, you know, giving you a greater faith that God is real. I'll tell you what, you want an experience? Get into God's word. That's why we come to church. I want to hear from God. I remember the morning God called me to missions. It's really interesting to me. My wife and I, we were like, why are we getting all these free trips to Europe? You know, people kept inviting us to come to Europe. We'll pay for it. I'm like, because we didn't have any money to do it. All right, if you pay for it. And we got over there to Europe, and I saw how dark Europe was. You think America's dark? There's nothing over there in Europe. And it broke my heart to see there's hardly any churches and hardly any young people following Christ. And I'm like, oh, God, I'd love to do something, but, you know, I'm pretty old. Sunday morning, I walk into this church just before camp started, little country church, you know. And I said, oh, it'd be nice to get a nice little message before camp starts, you know. And so I sat down. Little did I know this message is going to change my heart. You talk about an experience. The preacher, he got up there, he said, "This morning I want to talk about," he says, "there's, I don't know how many, 5,000 baby boomers retiring every day in the United States." I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm a baby boomer. I'm like, I'm not retiring, you know. And he said, yeah, but he said, and he goes on, he says, you know, Moses had just died. He was in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. He says, Moses just died, and one of my greatest mentors, Wendell Kempton, had just died. He was a great mission president of ABWE, and he had just died. And I always thought, what are we going to do without Wendell Kempton, you know? And I'm sure Joshua's thinking the same thing. What are we going to do without Moses? And God said, to Joshua. He goes, you know, I want you to go out, and you're going to take the place of Moses. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And he said, you know, Joshua's probably in his late 50s, and I'm sitting there, I'm in my late 50s. And he said, instead of him retiring, he's starting the greatest work of his life. And I said, God, are you speaking to me today about doing something in Europe? And then the preacher said, how about this for a title? Three elements you need in your life to step out by faith in a new direction. I was like, new direction? I looked at all the people sitting there, all had gray hair. I'm like, they're not going anywhere, you know. This is for me. You talk about experience, and he went through that word, Joshua chapter 1, the word of God, and I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart. You talk about an experience, the prophetic word. It's greater than any kind of light show that God might give you. Amen? And so, I just want to encourage you that the greatest experience you can have is not the light show you might want. Listen, Peter said, I had it. I was an eyewitness of his glory, but you have something even greater. Let's reverence the word of God and make the invisible God real to us through his word. Turn just one page over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Listen, can I tell you what? John is telling us, the apostle John is saying, I'll tell you what, this Jesus was real to me. This Jesus is really, he says, the creator of the universe, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, and our hands have handled. Can I tell you what? Jesus was real to John. You remember the Last Supper? And he's sitting next to Jesus at the Last Supper while they were reclining there at the table, and they didn't sit in chairs. They reclined on cushions, and he's reclining next to Jesus, and Peter says, John, ask him who's going to be. Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. He goes, ask him which one it is, and John lays his head back on the shoulder of Jesus, and he's like, who is it going to be? You know, can you imagine snuggling with the God of the universe? Amen. Wow. He was real to John. John says, we looked upon him. We heard him preach. My hands handled him. I snuggled with him concerning the word of life. But he goes on to say in verse 2, the life was manifest and we have seen it. We testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. What's the clue here? He says, I want you to have the same fellowship with Jesus that I had. Well, yeah, but you got to see him visible form. You got to put your head back on his shoulder. You were intimate with him. How can I? He says, I'm writing these things to you that your joy might be complete. Hey, do you have joy in the living God? I've never seen Jesus. I've never laid out. He's never spoken to me audibly, but I'm telling you what, Jesus is real to me, and I love him, and he's come to me in his word. Sometimes in my greatest sorrow, I remember one time in my time being a pastor, and I was so discouraged. My prayer life was kind of falling off. My study of the word, I just didn't have any energy for it. And I was so afraid. I'm like, I'm the leader of this church. And is God going to punish me? I'm such a sluggard. And I was just feeling bad and just waiting for some semi-tractor trailer truck to T-bone me and, you know, at an intersection, because God's like, I'm going to get you for not praying like you should. And I remember getting in my office one morning, and I opened up the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 1, so discouraged as a pastor. And I laid my eyes on this chapter 1, verse 6. Back then, all we had was the King James. And it says this, to the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein he has made us to be accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. You're not accepted because of what you do, Ken Rudolph.
You're not accepted because you pray a lot. You're not accepted because you study the word a lot. You're not accepted because you go out on visitation every night of the week. He says, Kent Rudolph, I love you in the beloved. Settled. That's it. I love you because Jesus died for you. You are covered. And all this pressure went off of me, and I was like, oh God, wow, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm not accepted because of what I do. Can I tell you what? Was that a moment of intimacy? When I could lay my head on the shoulder of the beloved and say, thank you. It's all paid for. I'm accepted in what you've done. I'll tell you what, Jesus became very real to me then. And I'm so thankful. Hey, let me tell you, that's what gave me the energy to keep going. Not like, oh, I'll be accepted if I keep doing all this good stuff for Jesus. No, it's like, it's finished, Ken. I love you 100%. I love you as much as the day you were saved. I love you as much as I'll ever love you. When you walk into heaven's gates, I'll never love you anymore because you're accepted and beloved. That's real. Amen. How do we make Jesus real? The invisible God. Folks, it's through the Word of God. Oh, we have these experiences. We have this communion. We have this intimacy. And it's all through the Word of God. Oh, I could take you through many other examples when God has spoken to me and he's made himself real, but it's through the word of God. Amen? And maybe you're going through a dark time right now and you're like, and you're saying, where is God? God, why didn't you show up? Can I tell you what? All you need to do is say, God, I'm going to open up your word because I believe you're real. And I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to be real to me. I want the Holy Spirit to take your word and just as a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and a day star springs into my heart. Oh God, just shine the light of how real you are and who you are. As Moses was like, oh God, give me a light show. No, I'm going to tell you who I am, and that's what will make me real to you. Let's not look for a light show. God's going to show up. He always does. He's always been here. He comes in the person of Jesus Christ, and he comes in the blessed word of God. And I'll tell you what, he becomes more and more real to me, moment by moment, day by day. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray for this congregation. Lord, they might be asking some questions about you right now. Lord, where are you? Lord, why? Where are you? Are you going to do this for me? Are you there? Father, I pray for young people, because some of them, they just learn a lot of stuff, but they really don't know you. Or they're saved, but they don't know much beyond that, Father. I pray that you would become real to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we would learn through your word, all the wonderful things that you have done for us. We believe in you. We believe that you are the creator of the universe. We believe that you are the God who brought us out of Egypt. We believe that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we believe that you are almighty, all-powerful. We believe that you are real. We believe that you sent Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, down to earth to die for us, that we could become born again. Oh, Father, just take all the doubts that we have, and Father, take your word, just like you did to Moses, and say, I'm just going to tell you who I am, that you might believe. And Father, I think of that verse I really love there in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. And though you do not see him now, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Oh, Lord, that's the greatest thing of all, is that someday I'm going home to heaven. Salvation of my soul. Father, give us that joy, that inexpressible joy, by believing. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
ready to close, but we're going to sing a song, and I hope that in the moment that you're here, something that was said, a challenge to maybe something that has challenged you. This is your pushback against that, the sense of the identity of God, the presence of God, the reality of God, the very understanding of His power, His authority, who He is, versus what the world has tried to make Him out to be. What does God say about Himself? What does His Word say about Himself? What is true? And maybe in this moment you need to come. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to stop where you are right there and pray. Maybe to push back against something that has been causing doubt and fear and the darkness to want to pervade, and to focus on this invisible God. It doesn't need to be bound by time or space, but can be everywhere present at all times. His nature is 100% there with you as much as with me. What a way to be reminded in a day in which we are. In this moment, in this time, how will you respond to what you've heard from God's word today? We're going to sing a song, and in this moment, I hope that God will encourage our hearts to walk by faith and less by what we see. Let's sing it together.
I found a treasure that can't be taken, found a well that won't run dry. Oh, worldly pleasure, be now forsaken. Behold what love, what life is mine. Could endless striving now make me righteous? Could all my works now grant me hope? Oh, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus, my only plea, my only bowl.
Christ is all.
Christ is all. Christ is all. The trial, when storms are raging, though tears may fall, my soul will rise. For there's a peace that is mine unchanging. There is a joy that never.
Christ is all.
Christ is all. Christ is. Life is passing and strength is fading. I'll see the one adore. Let this world vanish. Oh, give me Jesus, my great desire, my true reward. Christ is all. Christ is all, Christ is all. my song will ever be, Christ is all.
You know, the last 2 weeks, you know, all I have is Christ, and Christ is all. In the circumstances of life and no matter what, and I appreciate Brother Roth's the statement that, you know, it doesn't matter the borders we're in. Christ transcends borders. He transcends lines of demarcation. He goes with us into any situation of life. And we can be a Christian no matter where we are, whether we're in Iran, Iraq, in China, or in the United States of America. The real challenge is I think we've forgotten what it really means to be a Christian. And we've tried to temper that, tenor that, and appreciate the challenge again. Let's be listening to his word. This is what we're going to get back to, and the foundation of truth that we're going to find is the solid rock in which we can stand. I appreciate Brother Rudolph and Jenner being with us, and I'm going to let them have a moment to get to the back there, and make sure that you stop by and pick up a prayer card and pick up the information they have, and to be able to communicate with them. I know they would appreciate being able to share their ministry with you, and make sure that you greet them and to thank them for being a part of our service here this morning. He'll be speaking again in the next service, and so appreciate them taking the time to invest in our church here this morning. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and we're going to go out of here. Father, I pray as we leave, we'll leave with a heart of victory. Lord, in this day in which we live, it feels like the world is just getting stronger and stronger. We know that Scripture records that it's going to get worse and worse before they will see the majesty of your glory coming to rule and to reign. And so, Lord, we understand that our time here upon this earth is probably limited. We get that. But, Lord, let us be upon this earth. Let us be here ready to magnify the person of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives. And so, Lord, I pray for that one that is struggling, whether it be the influences of their education, whether it be the pressure of their peers, or whether it be just simply the circumstances of life. Father, I pray that you would help us to rise victorious, to see you as one that is God, seated upon a throne, and yet your arm reaches. And in that invisible nature, God, you show up in places that only you could be evident. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open, that we would allow you to speak and to address the areas of need in our own life. And may you truly be all in all to us. And it's in Christ's matchless name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you.